Before we get into the news today, we need to open with a severe weather alert for Grand Rapids and all of West Michigan. If you are listening to this on Monday morning, you need to prepare for a highly volatile weather pattern moving in this afternoon. That's right. The National Weather Service has placed the entire state under a slight risk for strong to severe thunderstorms. We are tracking a line of storms moving through the region that brings a primary threat of 50 to 70 mile per hour wind gusts and frequent lightning.
Right now, it's 73 degrees with a few clouds, but the humidity is already sitting at 93%. That high heat and humidity is essentially rocket fuel for this incoming system. We are looking at a 100% chance of rain starting around 3 p.m. today, continuing straight through the evening.
And the temperature swings are going to be wild. We're expecting it to spike up to 94 degrees by 9 p.m. tonight as this front pushes through. The National Weather Service notes that confidence in the exact timing and placement of these storm clusters is a bit low, meaning they could pop up suddenly and aggressively. Because that timing is tricky, local emergency preparedness is critical right now. You need to secure your patio furniture, tie down anything loose in the yard, and make sure you have a way to receive alerts this afternoon and evening. Those 70-mile-per-hour gusts can easily bring down tree limbs and power lines. Exactly. The rain will persist past midnight and into early Tuesday morning before we finally see temperatures drop back down into the high 60s by Tuesday afternoon. Please stay weather aware today. Keep your phones charged and take this seriously when those warnings are issued.
Shifting gears to our first main story, we are looking at a major milestone for one of West Michigan's biggest entertainment and economic drivers. The Gun Lake Casino Resort is celebrating its 15-year anniversary, and the economic impact numbers they've just released are frankly staggering.
They really are. Red Lake Nation News highlighted this milestone, pointing back to when the doors first opened on February 10th, 2011. Since then, the casino, which is owned by the Machabinosh Shewish Band of Potawatomi Indians, has generated nearly $227 million in revenue sharing payments for the state of Michigan and our local communities.
$227 million! That is a massive infusion of capital over a decade and a half. And what's really interesting is how targeted that local community investment has been. Whelan Union Schools, for example, has received $25.68 million over that time period,
which is completely transformative for a school district of that size. We're talking about funding that can fundamentally change infrastructure, technology access, and staffing levels. On top of that, Allegan County and Whelan Township have each received over $10 million.
Right, and that local revenue-sharing compact is a central pillar of how the casino operates within the surrounding municipalities. It provides consistent, reliable funding for emergency services, road improvements, and government infrastructure. But the casino itself has also transformed dramatically from what it was in 2011.
It has. It started as essentially a pure gaming facility, a regional hall you'd drive to for the day. But in 2025, they completed a massive $300 million expansion. They added a 16-story hotel, a full-service spa, and the Huawei Oasis, which is this massive indoor tropical pool and entertainment venue. That pivot from a day-trip casino to a stay-and-play destination resort completely changes their long-term economic strategy. By adding a hotel and an indoor tropical oasis, they are explicitly targeting the weekend getaway crowd, especially during our long West Michigan winters. They want to keep people on the property for 2 or 3 days. And supporting that kind of sprawling resort operation requires a huge workforce. The casino now employs approximately 1,500 people, making it one of the most significant employers in that corridor south of Grand Rapids. It's also worth reflecting on the broader historical context here. The Machabinosh Shewish Band faced incredible legal and political hurdles just to gain federal recognition. And then they fought years of legal battles regarding the land and trust process to even break ground on this casino.
Exactly. Opponents fought the project all the way to the Supreme Court. So when we look at these 15-year financial milestones, it's not just about a successful business. It's a reflection of the tribe's broader goals of sovereignty and economic self-sufficiency. They fought for the right to build this economic engine, and the resulting revenue has allowed them to secure their future,
while also becoming an indispensable financial partner to the surrounding local governments. It's a textbook example of how tribal gaming can anchor a regional economy when the revenue-sharing agreements are structured to mutually benefit the tribe and the local townships. With the new hotel and oasis fully operational, it will be fascinating to see what their economic footprint looks like at the 20-year mark.
From long-term growth in the casino industry, we unfortunately have to turn to a story of profound long-term struggle in our agricultural sector. Crane's Grand Rapids Business is reporting that Michigan's tart cherry crop is crashing for the second consecutive year, leaving growers facing a truly bleak season.
The numbers here are devastating. Michigan's 2026 tart cherry production is forecast to fall 24% to approximately 83 million pounds. And this isn't just a local issue. Nationwide production is expected to drop 36%.
But the pain is hyper-concentrated here in Michigan, specifically in the northwest region of the state, which is traditionally the heartland of cherry production. Regional losses up there are estimated at 70 to 80%. Some growers in the southern parts of the state are reporting even higher losses.
The primary culprit was a series of brutal late spring frost events back in April. The trees blossomed early because of mild weather, and then the frost came through and completely decimated those vulnerable blossoms. It's a weather pattern we are seeing more and more frequently.
And the reason this is escalating from a bad year into a potential existential crisis is because of what happened last year. In 2025, Michigan production fell 67% in the Northwest region. Typically, the industry relies on reserve inventories to smooth out the market during a bad harvest.
Right. The reserves act as a buffer so processors can still supply the bakeries, the juice makers, and the dried fruit companies. But because 2025 was such a disaster, those reserve inventories are currently sitting at near record lows. There is almost nothing left in the freezer to stabilize the market,
which threatens long-term customer loyalty. Michigan is the cherry capital of the U.S. We produce roughly 70% of the nation's tart cherries. If commercial buyers can't source their tart cherries from Michigan for 2 years in a row, they are going to look elsewhere, like overseas to Eastern Europe or Turkey, or they might just discontinue cherry products altogether.
Once a major commercial buyer formulates a recipe away from Michigan tart cherries, it is incredibly difficult to win that contract back. The industry is actively seeking a formal disaster designation just to survive this. But a disaster designation usually just opens the door for low-interest federal loans. It means taking on debt just to keep the farm afloat, hoping next year is better. And that raises a really difficult question about the future of Michigan agriculture. Is the recurring nature of these frost events forcing a permanent shift? Are we going to see multi-generational family-owned orchards give up on cherries and start replacing those trees with more reliable, frost-resistant crops like apples or strawberries?
Pulling out an orchard is a massive capital expense, and it takes years for new trees to mature and yield fruit. But if you're a grower staring at 70% losses 2 years in a row, you have to run that math. If this volatility is the new normal due to shifting climate patterns, the title of cherry capital might be in serious jeopardy over the next decade.
It's heartbreaking for these family farms. We'll keep a close eye on whether that federal disaster designation comes through and how the processors handle the shortage this fall.
All right, we have a few other important stories developing around the state today. Let's hit the roundup.
Sounds good. Let's get into it.
We do have some deeply tragic news out of Ottawa County. Authorities have identified the family of eight found dead inside their home in Grand Haven Township on Friday. According to MLive, 39-year-old Amanda Karolkowitz, her 47-year-old husband Christopher, and their six children, ranging in age from 5 to 15, were discovered when authorities responded to a house fire on Riverside Trail. The Ottawa County Sheriff's Office is investigating the incident as a potential murder-suicide, noting that some victims were found with gunshot wounds. They have stated they are not looking for outside suspects, but it is a complex scene, and the investigation is ongoing. Our thoughts are certainly with that community as they process this unimaginable loss.
Over in Washtenaw County, a new analysis by the Michigan Daily is shedding light on campaign finance trends in Ann Arbor's local elections, revealing that roughly 33% of campaign funds recently have originated from outside the city.
It's a statistic that's fueling local debates about transparency and the influence of special interests in municipal governance. This comes as a statewide initiative called Michiganders for Money Out of Politics recently cleared a signature threshold to potentially ban political donations from utility-linked committees and public contractors.
With local elections remaining highly partisan, the flow of outside money versus local grassroots support is going to be a major talking point for voters navigating the Michigan Transparency Network data this cycle.
That is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. Please take those severe weather warnings seriously this afternoon and evening.
Absolutely. Secure your outdoor items, keep your phones charged, and stay safe out there as these storms roll through.
We will be back on Wednesday with more news from across West Michigan. Thanks for listening.